Welcome to episode 43 of the Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, horse, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Iron Agenda, the podcast that... I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
And I'm Mike.
What the hell was that?
Sound of a pig. It was oinking.
Is that what that was supposed
That's
to be?
That's what that was.
Are you sure? Okay.
Yeah, it's an Iron Kingdoms pig.
Okay.
They all sound like that. Everybody knows that.
So why are you making pig noises?
Because we're going to talk about pigs later on.
Then what are we going to talk about now? Do you have any business?
I didn't...
Because we didn't have enough last episode.
Right. I couldn't come up with any business to talk about, so I do not have any.
Okay. Neither do I.
Okay. No business.
No business.
Meeting adjourned.
Okay. You guys were at a tournament yesterday. You guys played each other.
We did.
How'd that go?
It went pretty well. I was playing Epic Thagrosh in a veto tournament.
Wow.
So is the veto tournament, is that something that's kind of been...
I think that's more of just a local thing.
Okay.
I think other people have done it, but it's not widespread. I don't think.
Yeah, okay. It's not a big alternate format.
Well, basically, we did a steamroller scenario event where you can only have one list. In addition to your one list, you brought a list of models from other factions, which you would veto if you saw them across from you. You could veto any model except ones that were field allowance unlimited or mercenary warcasters. And if you had something vetoed in your list, then you had a few minutes to replace it with something else before the game started.
So what was vetoed on you guys?
I had my Angelius vetoed every list, which is actually something that I expected and wanted, because there's a little bit of strategy involved in a vetoed tournament. You know, you kind of got to guess, knowing your local meta, what people might bring to get the most out of your own veto choices. But also, like, I wanted to bring stuff that I knew would get vetoed, because that meant I could customize my list every round based on who I was facing. So, like, one list I put in a Carnivian instead of a Feralgeist, because I had something else taken out besides the Angelius. Whereas a couple other games, I replaced it with Raptors and maybe some help to accommodate who I was facing more.
And did the vetoed models cause you much problem then?
Not at all.
Okay, cool.
I liked it. It's a fun little event. You can guarantee you won't face that one thing that you hate.
Right.
But, like, you know... Take Krix, for example. Most people, if you're playing Krix, have something that you hate a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But what's actually the worst thing for you to face really depends on your list. Like, if you're playing an infantry swarm, you don't want to see Bile Thralls.
Right.
I was playing Epic Thagrosh with a bunch of medium and large bases, so I didn't want to see the Cankerworm.
Mm-hmm.
I could have taken out Nightmare or something like that, but I figured taking out the Cankerworm gave the Krix player the least amount of points to play with to adjust their list.
That's what I was talking to you. I can't remember who it may have been Tim yesterday. We were saying... Well, if you take out the Scarlet, for example, at 16 points, they probably won't be able to replace it with anything.
Yeah.
Unless they deliberately tone down their units so they can put another guy in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there is a little bit of strategy.
And, like, against Scorn, I vetoed the X-Toller.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of nasty combo Scorn can do, but you won't see them all in one list. I figured that a Scorn player who had the X-Toller had it in there to do something specific,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to pull out kind of the linchpin without trying to let them redo their entire army.
Right.
So, you know, no cannoneers through forests or models and no venators and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Mike? Anything that came up yesterday?
The first two rounds I got to play Legion. Yay me. I got Alton vetoed in the two Hordes games. And then when I finally went up against War Machine and played Krix, Iris was, of course, top of the list.
Which you couldn't really use.
Why not?
Because Krix cannot take Iris.
He played a
protector. No, that's who got vetoed.
Oh, they vetoed on you. Yes. I thought you were saying that was on your list. I see.
No. I lost Alton the first two games, so I put in Kel Balok and a second rack. And then against Krix, I lost Iris and put in Kel.
Somebody vetoed my Alton. I just put in Pendrake.
Or Saxon Oryk.
I like Pendrake a little more.
I think Pendrake's better than Oryk. As far as direct offensive output, I'll put it that way. But it was a fun day. I played... Who did I play first round? Oh, I played Kurt first round, mm-hmm. and then Mike, and I played Monkey in the championship match.
Huh.
Against Mike, Typhon threw a Dervish into water,
which is
awesome, and I wound up playing in the same table in the final round, and I almost threw a Monkey's Guardian into the water.
Did he pitch something? I thought I heard somebody pitch something with
the Guardian. He pitched Stu's Nightmare into the water.
That's what it was. So lots of throwing in the water yesterday.
Yeah. Especially from Typhon.
Typhon's good times.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a fun event. I had a lot of fun. It's not your standard steamroller. You still got to play some of the scenarios, but you know, it was some nice twists.
But there were coins at stake, right?
There were coins at stake, yes. And the basic prize kit.
All right, then. Sounds good.
Yep. So veto tournament. Hey, if anybody wants, we can try and get AK to put an official write-up of like the event rules on the forums or something.
Yeah, we should do that because we've talked about like on the April Fool's Day episode that you were on, Mike. You guys talked about alternate events formats, and we haven't gone into that too much since then. But once in a while, they're kind of fun. I usually like my tournament straight, but every so often, a little kink throwing in is good.
Josh likes his kink occasionally.
Right. Well, you know, just on Wednesdays.
Just on Wednesdays. So what are we actually going to talk about content-wise today?
A long time ago, not that we've been on the air that long, really, we talked about underused warcasters, and it just now occurred to me that, Mike, you were on that episode.
Yes, I was.
That wasn't even intentional.
Yeah.
And I say unintentional because today we'd like to talk about underused, undervalued units, or models in general, really, but non-warlock warcasters.
Okay.
So unit solos, that sort of thing.
So stay away from Beasts and Jacks. I think that might drag the discussion a little longer.
Well, did you put a one or two on your list, I think.
There's one Jack or one beast that typically is not seen on the table.
Just say that for another topic so we can stretch it. Nah. Get another episode.
But, we'll try to talk about, you know, why people don't like to take certain models, what can be used to help accentuate them, help them work in the list as best as you can. So we'll see what we can pull out of this.
Let's start with the same place we started last time.
What makes them?
What makes them underused or undervalued?
I think this is a little more complicated than just a warlock warcaster.
I think so.
Yeah.
I remember my immediate response last time was low focus, low fury stat.
Yeah.
Not so much with units.
Well, I think that one thing is warcasters and warlocks are relatively diverse. They do a lot of things. They are, for the most part, vastly unique. The difference is units, you can have multiple units that do pretty much the same role in your army. I think it's one of the problems that leads to the underused unit is if there's another unit that just does the job better. I mean, you take a look at the Legion specifically because they have what I think is the biggest and most clear example, and that is Legionnaires and Swordsmen. Mm. Ignoring the unit attachment, even before the unit attachment for the Swordsmen came out, they serve the same role pretty much in a Legion army. The Legionnaires do have reach and that strike back, but swordsmen are hit harder and they're cheaper and they're fearless. You don't have to worry about like running them with abominations. So because of that, legionnaires don't get played as much. I think that's one of the big things that creates an underused unit is there's a better option. Same with beasts too.
True. Beasts, I guess for units, I was going to say warlocks and warcasters, there's so many facets to them. You got their feet, you have their spells, their stat line, their abilities and their weapon. So like you're saying there's more facets to them. And so it's easier to,
it's harder for one to completely replace another.
Right, because there's always a little niche that they can fill in, whereas with units, that sort of goes away. Mm-hmm. You know, usually you've got a weapon, maybe a special ability or two, more recently than you would in, say, Prime. But, it's easier to see, it's easier to compare and contrast units and solos and whatnot, I think.
Yeah, I mean, what is the nickname around here that people have for the Cephalix and the Mind Slaves?
I don't know, because nobody ever uses them.
Expensive Mechanithralls.
But they are.
Yeah. I mean, there are some things that obviously that are different from Mechanithralls. They're living, for example.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases in Crix, that's actually a downfall. Say you take them with Terminus, well, you can't make them tough.
Right.
So you can get souls from them. So there's a little bit of a balance there.
They have their attachments, but they're not.
But they have their leader, that if it dies, then the unit is worthless.
Yeah.
Well, not worthless, but they're not nearly as strong if their leader dies, and it's too easy to get rid of that leader.
And Mechanithralls are much cheaper.
Right, exactly.
You don't get the extra bells and whistles, but worth that extra point cost?
Right. You have a decent, strong melee attack that you can accentuate with your caster or something, and you just they're fire and forget. You just let them go. They run. They don't run themselves necessarily, but they're a good, simple, strong unit. Whereas I think with the Overlords and the Cephalix, the Cephalix and the Drudges, they tried to make them too cute, I think. They tried to make them too neat and special, and really, they probably went in the wrong direction, I think.
Well, those neat and special, unique little units either are the ones that everybody takes because they're so good,
mm-hmm.
or, well, I got something that does better.
Yeah. Oh, cool. They're really fluff-wise, but they're really fluffy, but that doesn't help me in the game.
Right. So, you know, they don't see the table as much, but the Idrians see the table all the time.
Right.
Yeah, let's take, the Idrian Spirit, a good example is the Knights Exemplar Errant.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel bad for those guys in Mark 1. The Errant came out, they were pre-released in a no quarter. Then Superiority came out and we got the Daughters, and I replaced the Errants pretty much completely with Daughters,
yep.
with the exception of like with Knights lists. And then the Idrians came out and they pretty much replaced my Daughters. So the Exemplar got left way behind. Now, Mark 2 does kind of fix that a little bit by they drop the price cost tremendously.
Yeah.
What about stuff like the Assault Commandos?
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have a model or a unit that's the exact same and better than them, but they don't see much play.
I've heard people say that they don't play them, and I can't remember any specific reasons, but every time I've seen them across the table, they've performed rather well. So yeah. I can't, as an opponent of Kator, I can't think of why people wouldn't take them. Maybe that's because, you know, as a Krix player, I would take Bile Thralls, and then they wouldn't care about the corrosion or something to begin with. But I don't know. There's some things like that with I just don't have the perspective of, and I don't understand why they wouldn't take them. Because they seem so cool every time I've seen them used. I remember Ray just raped me with them once.
I think it's because they don't have anything else like that. So most Kator players, it's like, well, for this one thing that I already know another unit can do, what's the point of taking them? It's too unique. Everybody glances over them and says, I'd rather use this other model.
Are they too expensive? 67 for 6 and they're 10 points extra. So 107 for a full unit.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
It's cheaper than Iron Fangs.
Do you think it's kind of like it might be a good unit, just doesn't go with the army's playstyle?
Possibly. I mean, they can get a couple shots off each. They have their strangle gas. I don't know. They just always seem like a really good unit to me, and that's just one thing I don't understand why people don't actually take
it. It seems more defensive than offensive compared to what the rest of the army does.
I mean, it's not that they do have two weapons, and especially with I'm thinking of Battle Lust, I think.
Hmm.
They can do decent damage, but so could something like an IFP
mm-hmm.
with Furious Charge, because they probably got the unit attachment.
You know, last time we did this, and we're sort of doing it again, we're sort of doing hit and miss, just thinking about units as they come in. What if we went around and talked about our own factions, what we feel is the underused, and discuss that?
Okay, so who's going to go first?
I think Josh should go first. He's the one that...
Oh, yeah, Mr. I have a bright idea.
Mm-hmm.
Time to follow through, sir.
All right, for Krix, I'll go with Krix, and I'll throw out the Black Ogre and Boarding Party. Now, they fit theme-wise. You know, they're pirates, obviously. They're bad guys. They go and kill and pillage and whatnot. But they're half of a ranged unit. Half of their abilities are ranged. Now, they have CRA, so they can pull in. But typically in Krix, anything with ranged isn't going to be that strong. You know, we've got the Revenant cannon or the Revenant crew pistols and whatnot. But whatever range Krix typically has isn't very good. So I think, and that's going to be built into their points. So you're paying points for something that you might not even get to use or want to use.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's effective, it might not mesh that well with the rest of your army. So I typically don't take them unless I'm just feeling like building a theme army. And for me, that's a lot. That's when I do typically take these things that I feel are underused, when I just try to fit a theme, which means I'm not necessarily making them effective. I'm just doing it for fun. But to make them effective, you really have to put other things in the army to build around them. And in order to bring those things specifically to help that one unit, you might be wasting points on something that otherwise you might be taking.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you have something generic, like, or not generic, but something like Denegra that really will help everything in the army, spending points just to help something that only to make it mediocre or just a little bit better than average is often seen as a waste, I think. And that might be a common theme through all the underused units and models that we're going to be talking about. You know, spending points to help something that you might just spend on something else to get better effect out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, whenever you guys have seen the Black Ogre on the other side, what do you think? Are they a big threat? Do you think, oh, good, they brought them because it's such a waste?
I've never actually played against them.
Really?
I've only played against them a couple times. And, I mean, pulling stuff around can be a little bit annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they're not as dangerous as a lot of the other Krix stuff.
With Dragon Mark 1, and this will, well, from the field test at least, we think it'll change in Mark 2, you can only drag things that are smaller than you. So they can't drag medium-based models, which makes their drag ability even less worth it.
Because most of the smaller-based stuff is a higher defense.
Right. Or if you hit it, then you're probably not going to be dragging it because you're probably just going to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
So drag won't necessarily work. Same thing with the Reaper, although I like the Reaper a little bit more. In Mark 2, just to mention it real quick, the field tests say that you can drag things equal size. So in Mark 2, they should be able to drag medium bases if that stays the same. So I think that by itself will make them a little bit better. But in Mark 1, they're not getting any help there.
It would have been nice if they got something more like where they could CRA to drag bigger bases.
Oh, I see.
Kind of like how a concentrated valley goes up.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Three or more harpoons.
Yeah, because you got a bunch of giant Black Ogre pulling on the chains as opposed to one.
Right.
Okay. Well, I will give a protector example. And for me, it's not a unit that is really supplanted with other units. It's just a unit that does not seem to perform its job that well. And I'm going with the Flame Guard Cleansers.
I figure that's where you might go if you pick that book out, yeah?
Yeah.
Because you've got Escalation in your pocket.
Yes, I do. I pulled it out just because I wanted to double-check the rat and think of see if it was as low as I thought it was. And it is. It's 5.
Oh, still, eh.
And with, I mean, a spray does ignore concealment and intervening models, but still a 5, it means you're only on average hitting a 12. There's a lot of infantry that's above that, and that's a lot of the stuff you see, at least we see locally. Their explosion is good, and the whole cleanser bomb thing where you like throw them with a jack with an open hand, that's interesting and can be highly useful.
Cause, oh, it's fun times when it works right.
Right, cause when it, or having them stab each other in the back. Because when they blow up, they damage everyone within 3 inches of them and set them on fire. It's not a 3-inch AOE, so that's a
it's
huge...
It's a 7-inch AOE.
Yeah, it's a huge swath of destruction.
I threw a cleanser once.
But it's kind of gambly.
I've thrown several cleansers. One of them worked really well. Took out an entire unit of Mechanithralls.
Nice.
Threw it in just the right spot, took them all down.
But how many throws did you have to perform over the years to get that one great one?
I've only thrown maybe 10 cleansers. And yeah, one time it worked really well. 7 points took out however much a unit of Mechanithralls is.
Yeah, and their mats even lower than their rat, and their melee weapon is junk. So, I mean, they're not very good.
And all you've got to do is have an AOE drift to the back, and then they start exploding.
Yeah, and they don't chain explode, but still one's going to take out a bunch of his buddies, because they're going to be
Close enough,
He's going to take out at least one more for everyone that explodes. So it's a pain in the butt. And they're just... They have some use. I mean, I can see them with Epic Fiora. Granting the plus one rat, they become okay, and they're setting stuff on fire. But I think just because they work well with one Warcaster isn't enough to say that they are, therefore, good.
To really make them worth it, you've got to take both Epic Fiora and work it into an Umberguard list so they get the upgraded armor.
And if you do that, you're sacrificing a lot of your solos.
Exactly, and a lot of the good standard units.
Yeah.
I have Menoth could do the same thing as Fiora, essentially, right?
Yeah.
But with still, that's one. Just, you know, 2 of 11 Warcasters.
Yeah. But again, the thing is, Menoth works for everything.
True.
So, you know, then your Parade Idrians are shooting at Rat 9, I believe.
Believe so.
Accurate. So, I mean, the sprays aren't bad, because you can get a number of rolls. But the problem is, you know, as soon as you engage the front ones, the ones in back aren't going to be able to spray and hit them. If they get too close to try and spray further into the rank, you're going to be, you know, getting into melee yourself. It's just, they're not as easy to use as stuff with a longer range. You'd think at least if they had a shorter range weapon, they'd have a little bit better melee, but they don't.
They're very clunky compared to the other Temple Flame Guard models.
I remember way back when, and I haven't seen you do this in literally years, Dave, using the High Reclaimer to bring them back and then detonate them upfield. Is that... Even taking a minimum unit with, say, that particular Warcaster, would that be worth it at all?
I'd probably do it with the High Reclaimer, maybe with Tom. The High Reclaimer was better because he could bring them back. It's not in the unit, so he could spread them out wherever he wanted. Right. I don't play a High Reclaimer, though, and so I haven't put them on the table in a while.
So even though we can justify taking them with a couple Warcasters, even that justification probably isn't enough to bring them. I mean, it sounds like we're trying to shoehorn them into a list by saying, oh, well, you can do this, but...
Well, you can take them with a Castigator and throw the Holy Hand Grenade, but it's, again, very situational.
Yeah, and I mean, the range in that is only 5.5 inches because the Castigator's strength 11, so you're not going to be throwing them very far. I mean, it might drift a little
bit. Well, it's a small base model, so it's going to go an inch further.
That's true.
It's true. So 6.5, but...
And you actually round up on the strength. So it's 7.
It won't fly over any models, so you can't place it in their back lines.
No.
It's going to hit as soon as it hits something. So it's... You can do it, but I don't think that building an army around it is a great idea. I've tried it before against Josh. I don't know if you remember it. I brought a Severus Castigator and Guardian.
I only remember you throwing them against me once, and it didn't do what you wanted because we were... You'd condone the throw, then I said, oh, wait, it hit a small base model, so it didn't even go over the ranks. So that's another thing you have to worry about. If you're throwing a small base model, it may not be going, it's not going to go into the line.
Right, and because it deviates when it lands.
Right.
I mean, you had your Krix models pretty spread out. I would have caught a fair number of them, but I would have had to like throw it right in that perfect channel to get there.
Right.
So that's why I don't think that cleansers are as great of a unit.
And that's another thing that makes, I think, any model a little bit underused is if it requires randomness to make it work.
Yeah.
That's going to tone it down a little bit. I mean, obviously the trolls, you've got randomness built into every single list with your tough rolls.
Right.
And pirates for that matter too. But I mean, that's just that sort of part of the theme, the whole feel of the army. It's meant to be there. But whenever you shoehorn something in, hoping that it's just going to work, crossing your fingers, that's probably a bad sign, either for the model or the list or whatever. But it's not good for the game, I think, or at least that particular game you're going to play.
Mike, what do you got? What do you think?
I think we need Josh's little impersonation. Because now we're going to go into the trolls with the very underused, at least locally, pig bushwhackers and burrowers.
Oh, you're double dipping.
I'm double dipping. They've both got ranged weapons. They've both got swords. So really the only difference is
their special abilities.
That one gets to burrow.
And
they both got advanced deployment. Yeah, one gets to burrow, one's got bushwhack.
Now, and one of the pigs, if you look at the models, he's constantly knocked down. So he has to sack something every turn.
Yep.
But then the other guy has the coonskin hat, which gives him the bonus.
Exactly. That gives him the Davy Jones or Davy, no, the Davy Crockett, bonus. There I go screwing
Davy
up.
Davy Jones, hello. I'm one of the monkeys. The lady did love me.
Right.
Apparently they did in the 60s. I don't know.
So it makes the pigs underused.
The fact that
your other options are trolls.
The fact that the other options are, you know, why would I take a defense 13, arm 12 when I can take a defense 12, arm 15 or 16? 12 to 13 defense isn't really that big a difference to make them unhittable.
Well, full pigs cost what?
The bushwhackers are 104.
Okay, and five champions is 106.
100, I believe 106, yeah. So, yeah, exactly.
Choices.
Which one's going to be hanging back with the Creel Stone getting two more armor?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the champions are going to have a higher defense because they're going to be base-to-base, so they're either going to be screening each other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to be in Brothers of Arms and do the plus two defense in melee.
Right. Or mm-hmm. if they happen to be sure-footed with Madrak, it's plus two again.
Mm-hmm.
It just gets insane.
Plus, the pigs are all small base models, so they don't block line of sight as well as the medium base ones do.
You can't brick with pigs.
No.
Not well.
The pig brick would be funny if you could pull it off, though.
Are they more of a harassment unit?
Actually, I'd have to say yes, but not in the right way.
Well, I mean,
because they're much more of a harassment for me to play them than for my opponent to see them across the table.
I was thinking in a troll army, typically, I don't see a lot of extras. I don't see a lot of frills, you know, a flanking thing, unless it's like a huge brick of long riders or something. So mm-hmm. something weak for trolls out on the flank shooting at me with their little pea shooters.
Right.
It seems like that's really out of place.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does have a little bit of advantage, though, is if you have them to supplement we're trying to kind of do the shoehorn thing again, but mm-hmm. you know, if you have them out in the flank and a big solid core marching up the field at you, you really want to divert resources to take out the pigs?
Probably not. But again, they're probably missing, and if they hit, it's a POW 10. Granted, they'll probably take out something a little mm-hmm. bit here and there, but will they take out 104 points worth of stuff or an equivalent on the other army?
Only if your opponent sends stuff at them and you kind of count the points that they send to go off the flank.
And depending on what you have, let's say I'm playing Kator and I don't, so this might be completely stupid, but if I had a mortar, I may not even bother sending that mortar into the troll brick. I might just go ahead and let it drift toward the pigs anyway.
Sure.
And so if my mortar wasn't going to do anything against the brick, I may as well just try to take out the pigs.
I mean, I think the mortar is great against the brick if you can get to the Creel Stone.
Sure. But you can't see it, though.
Right. If there's something far enough back, it's not screened.
True. I mean, with the brick, if they're all close like that, you know.
But yeah, the pigs would be a good... You kill a few of them, make a command check, make them run.
Yeah, that's another thing. They're not in fearless.
Yep. The only thing they've really got going for them is tough. So if you can make a respectable amount of your tough rolls, you can use them as a speed bump.
When I did play trolls, I did do that once. And again, it's the whole randomest thing. I had a handful of troll or the handful of pigs hold up a line of storm guard, I think it was, for like two turns because they just wouldn't die. They just kept getting knocked down. So that was kind of funny. But again, it's not something you would ever count on.
Right.
That's funny.
What about the burrowers then?
The burrowers, I think because they came out after the bushwhackers, mm-hmm. everybody looked at them and said, oh, it's another pig unit.
They're kind of cool, though.
They are. They do the burrow thing the Helldiver does. They get
very short range, though.
It's a very short range. You can only move them 3 inches a turn. They've got to pop up within 5 inches of the marker if you pop them up. But if you can get them into the right spot, if you can get them in the back arc, so now you're plus four.
What's the range in their guns?
4 inches, I think. I think they're slug guns like the Devil Dogs, aren't they?
Yep.
And
slug gun range 4. So if you've got an impaler and he's close enough, you can make it a range 8.
Can they move when they pop up?
I don't believe so.
I mean, if they're popping up, they're probably being popped up next to the thing they want to shoot anyway.
So you're pretty much limited to popping up within 4 inches of the point?
It's 5 inches.
5 inches of the point and then shooting another four. So it's 9 inches from the point.
And that's assuming your target's going to be within
the range. Now, what's the POW of that, though? Isn't it pretty high?
It's like 14, I think.
It is about 14.
That's nothing to shake a stick at. We can shake a stick at it, but it's still a good range.
And their base rat is probably 5 or 4.
Base Rat is 4 or 5 on the leader.
So you're talking, if they pop up in the back arc, that's an 8.
8. Mm-hmm.
That's significant. I mean, that's going to hit
most
Warcasters and some Warlocks. And it's high enough power that might actually damage some Warcasters.
Sure. Absolutely.
The problem is, you know...
it's positioning. Your opponent knows where they can pop up.
True, but at the same time, I'd almost tend to use them as I've seen, as I usually face the Helldiver. Burrow it, and then don't move it for 2 rounds.
Is it board control?
Board control, or hope that your opponent just forgets that it's there, because I forget about the Helldiver marker. I don't see that black base. I completely forget about it.
I played against only one person who used Burrowers, and he forgot about his own Burrowers.
See,
and never popped him up. And coming from a Crick's perspective, I can testify to forgetting about my Helldiver markers. Now, or you remember them halfway through your turn where it's too late.
Right. Here's another question. If the Helldiver, how far is from within its base does it pop up?
3 or 8 inches.
So it can get up, but it can't travel.
Correct.
Right.
And that's a pretty big area.
Mm-hmm.
There's another option to counter the burrow is really easy. Run around the counter.
Mm-hmm.
All but fill that area.
Yeah.
Because if they choose to pop up and you can't get a model completely within, you lose that model.
Yeah.
Oh, no, cave in.
Yep.
Yeah. But by the same token, would you, I mean, you probably wouldn't even take a full unit of them, would you?
Probably not.
Just maybe for that express reason. Oh, I might lose some of them.
If I'm going to use them for the purpose of board control, it's going to be 2 6-man units, just so I can get more coverage instead of a full, instead of a 10. And
I think a
10-man
unit of them is dangerous.
Yeah.
Because of the popping up.
Sure, absolutely.
Yep. If you happen to be too close to an obstruction, there's too many enemy models in the way, or your own models, mm-hmm. you're going to be losing them anyway.
Mm-hmm. But like fighting against another troll brick, their brick just walks over your counter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
And says, go ahead,
just,
try
just,
it.
And just parks there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pig's like, wait a minute, I can't get up to the ground. What the hell?
What about Signar? What do you think an unused Signar unit is? Just try and give an example for them.
Storm Blades in Mark 1.
Yeah.
I mean, you do see them once in a while. I know Flanzer likes them. You know, he loves the leap and all that, but in general, you don't see him around here.
No.
And by extension, the Stormclad.
That's usually when you do see it is when it's a newer Signar player saying, ooh, great theme. And they
are. I mean, they're decent. I mean, mm-hmm. they have a decent POW, and their ranged weapon is actually pretty good, especially mm-hmm. if it's sniped. They're expensive, and you can't expand the unit.
They've got the same defense armor as Stormguard and one hit, so they die pretty fast.
I wonder if that's also a factor of the Stormguard, I'm sorry, the Stormblade are harder to use than Stormguard. Stormguard are pretty straightforward. You charge, bounce lightning, and hit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Stormblades, I mean, they're okay, but they're a low model count.
More options.
And, you know, you look at them as a melee unit, they actually make a really good range unit, a mm-hmm. short range unit. So they're not as easy to identify their best use.
Yep.
We already talked about Cawdor with the Assault Commandos.
Yeah.
Mechanics in Mark 1.
Sure, sure.
I wouldn't know anything about mechanics. Protector doesn't have mechanics yet.
We still haven't seen in Mark 2 or heard an inkling of what you guys might get, have we?
We don't know what, but they have said that everything in Mark 2 will, every faction will have a mechanic unit. So we're getting something. I'm wondering if it's going
to
be a small unit of vassals.
Or maybe a choir UA or something.
I hope not.
Choir UA would be great.
No. Well, not if it's the repair. Not if it means supplanting a song.
Right.
No, but if it's a... You know, you can have some of them. Well, now that you can have some of the choir boys sing and some choose not to, you could have the ones that choose not to sing.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah. Because they all have to sing the same song if they sing anything.
Right. Right. But then you could have the priest sing something and the UA do the repair thing. You could have the whole unit do two different things. Although it could be just as cheap as saying, oh, guess what? Now, I can't think of her name. What's
Meg?
Now Dirty Meg can repair non faction jacks.
That would be
she can't yet, though.
That'd be quite a change.
She can't yet, but...
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Or can repair non-faction for a higher skill check.
What about mercs? Boomheller?
Boomheller. Too expensive for what he does.
Double dogs.
Double dogs. Too expensive for what they do.
I'll put those guys with the mule.
Auto. Well, that's auto win. That doesn't matter.
I still don't get that joke.
It's not a joke.
It's
for reals.
Oh, for reals?
Yeah.
I have 8 double dogs. And 2 mules.
You win twice.
That's right.
Because in Mark 2, you can marshal 2 jacks.
That's right.
There we go.
That's double win.
What about the rest of the Horde's factions?
I was thinking about Circle, and I haven't used them yet, so I won't have any comments here, but I've heard a lot of people talk about the Stoneward and the Waldstalkers as being bleh. And I haven't used them, so I don't know why, but have you guys heard any specifics on that?
No, I have not.
I'm one of the persons kind of voiced that, not from playing them, but just looking at them on paper so far and, you know, seeing them on the table by other people playing
them.
Oh,
you've actually seen them used?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I think, I mean, they're okay, the stockers themselves, but to do the really good stuff, they need the leader, and he's only got one box.
It's like the Cephalix that we were just talking about. You know, if he goes down, then you've got a bunch of mindless stones walking around. You can't get spells.
Yeah. You say, well, you know, there's protected units that are like that. The Zealots, for example, have one model with one wound that makes them do the cool stuff. But they can make themselves really hard to kill.
Yeah. Mm.
Whereas the Woldstalker or the Cephalix cannot. They don't have the same advantage.
Yeah. Woldstalkers can increase defense, but still, one good blast damage. Actually, one decent average blast damage roll will take them out.
What's their armor?
The leader has a 13 armor, 14 defense to start with, but the Woldstalkers are 12, 15. So an armor 13 on the leader, that's not typically hard to take out.
No, not at all. A lucky roll and a redeemer. Right. Or average on a Zealot Bomb.
Yeah, average on a Zealot Bomb.
And considering the number of AoEs that you're just talking about, Protector, I'm thinking in particular, the odds of hitting him once or twice is pretty good.
I mean, and even you're talking stuff like the lightning bounces from Signar, either from melee weapons or arcing. Arc down a line of those stalkers.
Yep. It's often hard to put yourself in a position where you can defend against a lot of leaps like that.
Ashes to ashes, same thing.
Exactly, yeah. There's too many of those things to count.
Unnatural Destruction, Epic Butcher's spell.
Yep.
That would cause them to blow up. Yeah, there's a lot of ways around defense. I think that's the thing.
Other than those guys in Circle, I don't have too many problems with them. I mean, there are things like the Argus, whose Animus is almost useless. You know, it's a 3 Fury Animus. It's a 3 Fury Beast. And the Animus doesn't even do that much, really. It requires your guys to die.
What about Reeves?
Reeves, I've only used them once or twice. They're a little bit lackluster, but I don't think they're meant to be a powerhouse. People constantly will compare them to long gunners, and for good reason. There are a lot of similarities. You know, they're ranged unit, they can get the double tap, but I don't think they're meant to be long-range shooty guys. They require a little setup. Like last week we were talking about them with Chromac and Sentry Stones and setting up that little flanking mechanism. I think they're meant to be paired with other things, as long gunners can just sit there and snipe away, you know, and pick things off at a long range.
Yeah, they pretty much need the Werewolves?
Werewolves, yeah.
And something that would create force to make them peak efficient.
Right. And I think they're meant to be played that way. So I think they're underused only because people don't necessarily want to expend those other resources in the game them out.
So maybe that's another reason the model can be, or a model unit can be underused, is it just takes too much to do their job.
Right, right. I mean, you might always have the Sentry Stones there, but you might not want to take the Werewolves, and the Sentry Stones might be doing things that, or the Mannequins, you know, might be doing things besides making force. So
yeah, they've got better things to do their time sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. But otherwise, I typically just don't have a problem with a lot of Circle stuff. I think it's a pretty solid faction. It's not necessarily overpowered in some areas, maybe Kruger in some little areas like that, but overall I think Circle is actually pretty well balanced.
I'm going to take a guess on the Scorn, at least from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the Karrax. And I know Walker's going to be mad at me for mentioning them.
Yeah, he loves him some
Walker Karrax. Loves his Karrax. But
Walker loves him some Karrax.
I mean, Shield Wall is nice. Don't get me wrong. They have a low mat, though. They have to CMA to hit anything. They're a 5.
No, if I'm remembering right, because it's not often I play against Scorn at all, that's the one that has the immune to blast damage.
Yes.
Right?
And they can make other things immune to blast damage.
For that alone, I would take them. Because I've...
Oh, it depends who you're playing, though.
Well, but that's the thing, is I've seen them up against my Zealots, and with both of them being low enough mat and them being immune to blast damage, we weren't killing each other. They tied each other up for the entire game. He'd kill one, and then the Holy Monolith would go off, he can't kill anymore, and I wasn't hitting anybody with my mat, and blast damage wasn't killing him. The two sides neutralized each other.
Yeah, but you're tying up more points worth of models. You're winning that fight.
Well, true, but if you have a tendency to die to Zealot bombs, it's worth it.
I was sure. And against Protector, yeah, I mean, they can be really frustrating. But in general, I mean, that advantage doesn't work against, say, a Legion army.
Right.
That advantage is completely worthless.
Right. But then knowing that you're playing a Legion army, you won't take them.
If they're that situational that you would only take them against one or two specific opponents, I think that qualifies for them for underused, though. So their other big advantage is that they have Neil.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have Exceller Soul Wards to make the vendors shoot through them anyway and shoot through everything else. So Neil is kind of less useful than it used to be. Or someone could play, you know, Xerxes and do the same thing, shoot their own stuff. So I think that the ability to virtually give their ability to units, I'm not sure how to explain, but the fact that Neil got supplanted by Ghost Sight, the blast damage thing is not useful against everybody. It's actually more useful against War Machine than Hordes, I would say.
Oh, yeah, sure. There's more AoEs in War Machine, I think.
They can shield wall, but with Ancestral Guardians and Exilar Soul Wards, and Zol, you actually want people to die. I just don't think that they fit the Scorn army as well as, say, Praetorian Swordsmen. I think it's just the fact that their role is not as, shall we say, desired.
Sort of like, or I think that harkens back a little bit to the Assault Commandos. You know, they don't necessarily fit the way that most things in the faction do work, which means they're probably going to only be played with a certain Warlock Warcaster or paired with certain other models. So like you just said, they don't necessarily work well with Soul Wards. They may have been designed that way, which is fine, but if that means people don't use them, then, you know, that returns the cycle a little bit. So you got to find things that do work well them, that will help them in a particular list. And it may be a situation where you might take them in a steamroller list, expecting to have them only against an AoE heavy list. Sure. And if you don't see that across the table, well, you go with your other list. So it could be one of those deals where it's specific, and you might take them only in like a tournament setting for specific opponents.
I actually figured after we did this round, we would maybe talk about in general ways to get use out of these units. And I think you brought up one of the points I was going to make was the dual list of the steamroller format.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose to be a little bit more specialized with your list in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I think early on, a lot of people would make a list for War Machine and a list for Hordes. That's kind of died off as of late locally as people kind of geared more towards purposes instead. Some people still do that a lot, though. And I think that if you do that split, Karrax are one of the types of units that could go in one versus the other.
Right.
Kind of like how a War Machine player might put Iris in one and Alton in the other.
Yeah, right.
What are some of the other ways which you guys see to make underused model units better? Do you think that it's fair to say just use them more knowing they're not as good? Because, I've recently played a couple games with Legionnaires, and I know that my swordsmen could do their job better, but I played them anyway.
If you're not concerned about being as effective as something else, and of course, we're not necessarily saying these things aren't effective, it's just that if you have something relatively better to take, then you probably should. But if you're not worried about the competitive side of the game, then yeah, absolutely take whatever you feel like taking, whatever works for you. If it's not going to help you win, that may not be a big deal to you.
It could also be that they're just kind of a lackluster unit for the moment, waiting for the UA to come out when they do eventually get one.
That's true.
I know myself, I didn't play the Temple Flame Guard all that often, even though they were a good, solid unit. Until the UA came out, now you have an 8-man unit plus the UA. You're only paying a few points more than you would for a full unit of them the first time around, but now they cause fire. They can shoot. They can attack through each other.
And they cause terror.
And they can do the shield wall, the little shield wall mini feat. So you can either have the out of formation armor 18 or the in shield wall armor 22.
It can't be knocked down or made stationary.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, Mike. Since the beginning of the game, there have been crests and troughs and usefulness of things. You know, I think Dave used to say that you didn't use Zealots too much, maybe, or somebody didn't, and then the Monolith Bear came along, and then, you know, I think you in particular stopped playing them a whole lot. So there's a little bit of a wave there, and maybe down the road something else will come out to make you want to play Zealots again, or whatever. This can apply to pretty much anything, like Mike was saying. So I think that's part of the game design, to make things useful in some areas, and then maybe a year from now you might not play them as much, and that might be deliberate.
Yep.
There's also the fact that War Machine Hordes is basically a combo-based game.
Yep.
And even if a model unit is good, if they do not build the biggest combos, I mean, like we said, like the Karrax and the Assault Commandos, they're not bad, but they don't synergize as well with their respective armies.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't build the bigger combo, which is usually, I would say, what tournament play is about.
Typically, at least
competitive play, we'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Competitive play... A good combo is going to defeat a very good unit in general. But because those units don't synergize well and build the bigger combos, they don't get put in as much, I think. What do you guys think about Mark II? Do you think it will address this issue much, if at all?
Well, I mean, I gave the example of the Black Ogryn earlier. For example, Drag, you know, they changed Drag for both the Reaper and the Black Ogryn and whatever else would come out with it. So that makes them a little bit more useful. And frankly, I would probably take them more often. I know I took the Reaper during field tests quite a bit, specifically because I knew I could drag heavy jacks with the Reaper. So little tweaks, I think, not necessarily even model or unit specific. Little tweaks like that, just changing drag, would make me want to take, say, the Black Ogryn more often.
Okay.
So, I mean, not blanket changes, but more generic changes, I think, can filter down. You know, it's sort of like a trickle-down economics. It's trickle-down rule changes make you want to take certain things, even if they're not directly affected.
I think it's likely that the rule changes for Mark II aren't going to make something suddenly the best, but I think at least it'll help frequency in most cases. I mean, then again, look at the cleansers. What was arguably some of the best ways to use them
mm-hmm.
to explode has been stripped out completely.
The cleanser card's completely blank now, right?
The back of it is.
Yeah.
I mean, like you mentioned before, they are immune to fire damage.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, yeah, they don't have any special abilities.
Well, but then that's also been modified now that the rack doesn't have immobile anymore. So Castigator can't walk up and throw a holy hand grenade, but he can chuck a lawn dart.
Yeah, but you can only chuck that lawn dart from 6 inches out of his deployment zone max.
True. And hopefully it doesn't deviate back 5 and explode in your face.
Right. Yeah. There are other bombs now, but mm-hmm. the fact that cleansers were mobile are what made them great.
Right.
Or that you could like use mm-hmm. a higher claimer and place them.
Were right. they made significantly cheaper, though? I don't remember.
No.
No, really? not compared to the other stuff in there.
Hmm. So I think they're still more expensive than Flame Guard.
Really? Or the Temple Flame Guard?
Yes.
That's interesting. They have the spray, of course, but I mean that. Huh.
I think they're the same price as Errants.
Interesting.
I'd rather have the Errants.
Sure.
I hear a lot of people saying that, you know, well, the Errants are too unspecialized. I like that lack, especially sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, that's just me. I look at the cleansers and say, okay, well, they didn't really fix them.
Well, they took away the irregular armor.
Mm-hmm.
And that in and of itself, I'll play them a little more often because now I don't have to worry about that random AoE that drifts behind them.
Yeah, but do you think you're going to get as much use out of them?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to play them and see if that happens. I mean, they probably won't see the table other than with Sevi for the +1 to their rat.
Mm.
But still, that +1 either way is going to help them out.
And it could take some time for these combos to come to light. You know, sure. Sometimes they come out immediately. Sometimes they do take a while. Mm-hmm. And maybe the cleansers have one that we're not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not, is my guess, but possibly.
No.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even seen the final rules.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we don't even know what the rules are, but just going by the field test, yeah.
I mean, Mike and I are both Protector players, and they're the easiest for us to talk to from a mm-hmm. Mark II standpoint because we've looked at their rules the most. But,
sure.
I mean, let's just take example of one of the models that went from probably the least to most play in a Protector
army. I know exactly where you're going.
Where am I going?
You're going to the Sunburst.
No, I still don't like the Sunburst. I'm going to the Reclaimer.
Well,
I hardly ever use a Reclaimer in Mark II. And Mark 1, sorry. And Mark 2, it's a walking Soulstorm battery. That's pretty cool.
That is true. I kind of focused on the Sunburst when I first saw the rules when they popped up.
You played one against me yesterday.
I did. I had one on my list yesterday, partly because I wanted to kind of realize why I don't like them in Mark 1 as much,
mm-hmm.
and partly because I knew nobody would veto it.
This is true.
So I wouldn't have to worry about it too much. That was the whole reason I didn't put the Idrians in that list yesterday, because I knew everybody would veto them. And what do you know? Every game I played, that's what was on the list.
That was a tough choice between them and Zealots.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say between the Idrians and the Sunburst.
No, that was an easy choice. That was more easy to narrow than expected.
Yeah. But no, I think Mark II is going to fix, with the general rule changes, it's going to fix enough. But some of the specific models, the Sunburst is easily the most changed for the better on Protectorate side. It's not a 14-inch, essentially, bullet shot anymore that could spawn AoEs. Now it's a 16-inch, 4-inch AoE. It's much more worth taking.
I wonder, and I'm not going to bother to do this because I'm lazy, if we took a list of all the things that we think are underused now or see as underused, and then 6 months after Mark II comes out, compare those lists, I wonder how much change there's actually going to be.
I don't know. That might be an interesting exercise.
I'll leave that exercise to the reader.
People don't read podcasts, Josh.
I should read this
one. Yeah, podcasts don't have viewers.
All right.
But we could even go through and just make up lists and put them in a 6-month time capsule for...
We might do something like that.
Interesting.
There's a future show idea.
There you go.
Now I've contributed.
Awesome.
We should record ourselves talking here in Mark 1 and then have a Mark 2 episode like 12 months from now and like splice them together so we're talking to ourselves. Like in the past.
Or you could record the Mark 1 episode and then 6 months after 2 comes out, just play part of it back and go, my God, I was such an idiot. Just belittle yourself.
I kind of have something to go back to a little bit
okay.
before we go on. What about models that are just too new for players who have established likes and dislikes. New models have come out that are good, but they don't fit in someone's existing play style.
Well, then they would probably be underused for that particular person.
Yeah.
Or crowd, or whatever.
But, like, for example, I don't think we see much of, let's just say, Saxon Auric and even Pendrake around here.
You're right, we don't. I mean, and it's weird because I think around here, at least, I think most people agree that Pendrake's pretty badass.
Pendrake's pretty good.
I've never seen Saxon on the table, but I would be much less afraid of him than Pendrake. But even so, we still don't see Pendrake on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe I saw him once, and I wasn't even in the game, but I think I've seen him once on a table here.
Do you think the fact that the game has incremental releases, that how players kind of establish their playstyle after every release affects how easy is it to transition into new models?
Easily. It just, once you get used to playing something, you look at the little toys and tricks that the model you like has. Oh, well, this new guy doesn't have this or this. I won't be able to do those with him. So you just, you backburner him.
Yeah. I think another one of the problems is with constant incremental releases is there's always going to be something that comes out that builds a certain combo even higher. It kind of raises the curve with every release.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the models themselves don't get more powerful, which, you know, does happen as well, with the greater variety of abilities, it increases the likelihood you're going to be able to increase some combo or make some combo even worse.
Sure. I mean, even if it's not deliberately put right in, it's going to sneak in. And yeah, very rarely, if ever, will something be snuck in that will actually downgrade the power of something.
Mm-hmm.
That would be actually very difficult to write into the rules without intending it.
Yeah, it's an interesting unit attachment that's required.
There you go. Another reason that something might be underused, and this is probably much more rare than what we're talking about, is if it becomes so powerful and a local meta sort of selects it for death.
That's sense, you know that's
selected,
a good point.
Marked for deletion.
Yeah.
You want to know who's rarely used around here locally anymore? Saren.
Yep.
Arguably the best, most competitive Legion Warcaster.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is here is we have kind of an unspoken rule among the locals. And it's kind of funny that people get peer pressured into following this rule even if they come into the community later. But
I don't think it's peer pressured. I think they just, that's how you guys do it. Well, I want to be accepted. So,
well, that's peer pressure, though. If you realize acceptance hinges on a certain action, it encourages that action.
But none of us have ever said, if you don't do this, we're going to
just
completely negate you from the community.
It's passive peer pressure. How does that make you happy? Okay.
Fine. We'll call it that.
Welcome to the iron psychology agenda. I don't know. Or sociology agenda. There we go. The rule I'm getting at is if you win an event with a warlock or warcaster, you usually put them away for most events. There's an obvious exception. You know, people still play stuff for fun. And if it's a big competitive event, like mm-hmm. a master's level thing or
hardcore or something.
Hardcore. Some trophy events as opposed to coin events, mm-hmm. you might see stuff pop back out.
But it's pretty much anything over a local normal event. If you're going to a convention, if you're paying room and board to be able to go for the weekend,
play whatever the hell you want.
It's play whatever you want.
But like locally, for example, I won an event with Epicthagoras yesterday, and I kind of got disappointed after I realized, wait, that means I can't bring him to events really anymore. And I mean, sure, I could.
And I don't think anybody would say anything.
Oh, no, they wouldn't. Well, he is kind of mean.
He's kind of mean, but it's not like you're going to end up with 9 sets of gold cards for him. I mean, if everybody continued to play what they already had cards mm-hmm. for, you're going to have people out there that have, 7 and 8 sets of cards for Saren and 4 and 5 for Epic Fiora. Why would you want
Or anybody?
With the exception of the generic kind of staple items, granted, I've only got the 1 set of gold cards, but I've retired a couple of models from events because do I really want a second set of Ion and Holt?
I've kind of gone that way a little bit sometimes, too. That actually affects my decision on building lists occasionally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then again, looking at it from the perspective of we don't have a lot of players that, to my knowledge, came from Games Workshop anywhere near recently.
Yeah, we've had one or two I can think of.
We've had a few, but they're not heavy players. They're the casual players.
And the only reason I kind of mention that is in War Machine, there's not a build one, at least locally, there's not a build one army and stick with it type of mentality. And I think that there are communities that play that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And in that case, if you only have one army,
mm-hmm.
then
right.
if you win, you're probably going to play it again. But we kind of have a lot of people around here who have broader collections and mix and match a lot.
Well, I think that's part of the difference between privateer press items and the Games Workshop stuff anyway. If you win an event at Games Workshop, you don't get a gold codex. There is no...
That'd actually be pretty cool.
Which would be pretty cool. But there's no specific record of what you won with. It's just a matter of if you won or lost.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you're going to continue taking the stuff that let you win the event. Where with this, it's, you know, well, I've won 18 times. You've won 18 times with the same list. How about you play something different? You know, there is kind of a record of what you've done.
Yeah, that's the one thing I kind of like about the gold cards is mm-hmm. you could try to build a collection.
Yeah.
And that encourages the player to spread out and kind of try and collect them. I'll try and play Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotta catch them all. Gold rack, I choose you.
Make them leave their comfort zone.
Yeah. And in that case, I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea for that reason. I think we're a little bit off topic. There you go. There's your solution for making people play underused units. I think to some extent, gold cards can kind of do it.
Yep. Well, that's for a while there. I know a couple of people that locally were only missing very few gold cards for certain factions. They'd take two lists to the Steamroller event, one that they played really competitively up to the final round, and then that last round, play the list that had all the cards they didn't have yet.
I think, and I remember this from, it was months ago, I think it was Biggie on the boards, whoever it was, said that the actual rule was that you didn't necessarily get gold cards for the list you won with. You right. got to choose,
right.
which choose is crap, list. By the way.
I
it should be the one you played the more, the most.
The most or the final round.
Or the final round, yeah. But I can even see playing the most.
By that rule, you could take two lists, play one all day, never touch the other one, and get the gold cards for the
right.
other
yeah.
one.
Oh, I don't have Karchev's gold cards, so I guess I'll just play my Epic Vlad list all day and get my Karchev cards that way.
Yeah, that's not right.
Which doesn't make any sense.
No, not at all.
And they may have reversed that for all I know, but that was at one point the actual rule.
I know that the rule for our event was you got gold cards for what you had in your list the final round.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So anything got vetoed, you weren't getting gold cards.
Exactly.
For, yeah. Which is kind of cool. That was specified. I mean, we only had one list anyway,
mm-hmm.
but you know that was kind of right. put up front. Well, we kind of went off topic with that one a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So let's take what we're talking about. Let's put it into practice here.
Okay.
Mike, you brought something for us.
I did bring.
What'd you bring?
I brought Kalandra.
Really? Because she's not out yet.
Well, she's not out yet, but
Spirit, not in body.
Exactly, in spirit, not in body.
There's no way you can get that but body in the door.
That's a huge troll. For all the new troll stuff coming out, she's going to be the new thing that everybody wants to play.
I think so.
She's frightening when I look at her.
I think she's really good. I think she's going to match up to Epic Thagrash in certain ways. Epic Thagrash is kind of easy to hit and get to. She's weak and frail. She's not good defensively herself, but she has a spell that pretty much is a counter of his. And his spell is what makes him so cool, mm-hmm. is Glory of Everblight.
And hers is going to make her very
is
cool.
Starcross,
as well.
Which is basically anti Glory mm-hmm. of Everblight. If you're in her control area, you roll an extra die and drop the highest.
Yes.
Now, there's a trick to that. You have to actually be in her control area. Mm-hmm. So if you shoot from outside of it, you're okay.
Sure. But if she's backing up a whole melee army.
Sure.
And her, you know, and yeah, facing our melee army.
She's following real close.
Now, it's kind of cool, though, because it does force her to come upfield, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if she's concerned about having an enemy drop a melee attack, that means that model has to be within 14. She doesn't have to be that close to the front line to have that trigger.
Well, I'm thinking specifically as a Legion player. I mean, I've got stuff like archers.
Sure, you have plenty of
range stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a little
and
bit of a
Signar
anomaly,
would have the same thing.
In a lot of cases.
Even Kador in some cases. I think there are a lot of good ranged options.
Some of those, though, are going to be so far on the other side of the table that she wouldn't be able to get close enough anyway.
It could be, yeah. I mean, we're just talking generalities.
Sure. Either way, it's a nasty.
Yeah.
Spin.
Oh, yeah. Not to take anything away from it, but it's going to be, yeah, people want to play it because they just want to laugh, put her on the table and laugh, say, ha ha, roll an extra die and drop one.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, if you're like our locals and have loaded iron agenda dice, it won't matter.
I don't know. I've had people tell us that those dice are either loaded or they're anti-loaded.
It actually depends entirely on my proximity to the dice.
I thought that was just with Ray.
Other people, too. My proximity to your set of Iron Genda dice mm-hmm. Starts to suck the luck out of them.
Well, then maybe I give them luck, because every time I play against them, people roll sixes.
It could be. However, my own dice
mm-hmm.
work fairly well. Ask really? Mike.
Not just in our game yesterday, but in every game. I saw so many... boost the hit, 3 sixes, or 2 sixes and a 4, that it wasn't even funny. And that was not only on Iron Agenda dice, that was on everything.
For me?
For you, for every game I played. My first round game
mm-hmm.
against Legion, she was playing, and she was boosting everything she needed to while she was playing
Ryze.
So anytime she had 3 dice to hit, or 3 dice on damage, I was seeing 2-6s 60, 70% of the time. It was ridiculous.
And why does Kalandra suck so much? That means only 1-6.
Mm-hmm. That's why Kalandra is so good.
You have to roll 2-6s just to get 1-6.
You have to roll 3-6s to get your auto hit.
Yeah, that's... She's going to be pretty mean for just that reason. But what else did you bring to back her up? And what was the theme for this army? Let's start there.
Well, considering the theme for building this army was the pigs, the underused...
See, I don't get... Is that a pig sound? I mean, I'd hear like... That would be more pig, I would think.
Sorry, I can't do that, Dave.
Oh, okay.
I was born without the ability to do with that, whatever it is you just did.
Okay, so you got Kalandra.
You got Kalandra.
Your tactic is, or your theme is?
Theme is not only pigs, which was kind of the secondary, just because of how everything started to work. It was the underused units and models for the trolls.
Okay.
So, of course, we have to throw in the pygmy bushwhackers and the burrowers. So then it became a pig list. So we've got Kalandra, 10 bushwhackers.
Wait, is that saying something about Kalandra?
That is saying nothing about Kalandra. Okay. She is a fine woman, and there is nothing wrong with the larger frame.
Okay.
10 bushwhackers, 6 burrowers. Then we've got Rorschach and Brine, because
they're pigs.
You got to have the big pig. A 7-man unit, or rather a 7-pig unit of the Feral Brigands. Minimum unit of bone grinders.
So if it's a pig, it's in this list.
Oh, if it's a pig, it's in this list.
All right.
Just because it started to be funny. Plus, if you figure they're going to die, you can make things out of them and eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And bacon is the candy of meat. And there's no reason to not deny yourself candy.
Okay.
Then we've got a Fellcaller, the Impaler, a Pyre Troll. And another somewhat unused model for the trolls, the Blitzer.
But not for you. You like this guy a lot.
I like the Blitzer. Because when I was looking at it when he first came out, I'm like, okay, 111 points for the Mauler, or 7 points more, 118 for the Blitzer. You lose the Animus. Okay, that +3 to your strength is going to help, but it's going to help a lot less, in my estimation, than having that gun that you can shoot every round. Okay, it's a D3, but you can shoot it and do melee attacks at the same time. You can't boost the hitter damage on it, but if you put Fortune on him, you get to reroll not only missed range attacks, but missed melee attacks, so just in case those double ones sneak in.
Yeah, he's a good target for Fortune.
And so I like the Blitzer. For 7 points, you get a constant ranged weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any problems with it.
And I think the Swamp Gobbers is the last thing on the list?
Swamp Gobbers, last thing in the list.
Okay. And it's 474 points.
474 points.
So there's a lot of pig here.
There's a lot of pig.
You're going to be making bacon.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start with deployment, because you've actually got a fair bit of AD here.
Yes.
The brigands are not AD. People kind of would assume they are. I kind of think they are looking at them, because they're kind of like trenchers.
Right.
But they're not actual AD. The only thing you have at AD are the pig PYGs.
Yes.
We got pigs with a Y.
And pigs with an I.
And we got pigs with an I, which are our pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
So we should probably call them pharaoh just to keep it straight.
Right.
So the pigs advance deploy.
The pigs advance deploy. The PYG pigs advance deploy. So right there are 16 models that in this list are going to be put on later.
Mm-hmm.
So probably going to start with the brigands fairly close to the front line, maybe not at the 10 to deploy, but fairly close. Bone grinders are going to be sitting back with the caster.
Sure.
Swamp gobbers, same thing. Impaler, pyre troll, probably near the center, either flanking or in front of the brigands. Blitzer to one side and Rorschach and Brine to the other.
Would you put him with the brigands as a little pig blank, or do you think you'd spread him out?
You put Rorschach and Brine with him?
I could have sworn you just said pig blanket. As in pig in.
Awesome. Well, I have actually played Rorschach and Brine in a tournament with Legion, and I kind of found him interesting as holding up a flank in that, you know, Rorschach's spell creates it's kind of like a mini inhospitable ground almost.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much smaller area.
Pigpen, is that what it is?
Yes, pigpen. I think it's within 3 inches of him, though.
I believe so, yeah.
But that's enough that you can hide Rorschach in it as well and kind of slow down charges. So, yeah, I mean, pigpen was nice. And also, you can, with diversionary tactics on Rorschach as well, it's where he drops, it's a special action, he drops an AoE. And after it's resolved, he and Brine, if Brine's inside of it, can move up to their speed. I actually used it at one point to Rorschach kind of walked up close to an enemy unit of, I think they were Praetorian Swordsmen, and dropped his little dynamite. And Brine walked up immediately, got in base space with him, and I forced him to trample. It's that little bit of repositioning. It's just like Slipstream. That can be huge.
Yeah.
And he can go up to his speed, and he can go 5 inches. They ain't bad.
It's a fast pig.
It's very fast pig. So, I mean, they're not that great. And the problem with lesser minions is it's 100 points on a war beast that's not going to feed your warlock.
Right.
But they're actually fun on their own, and they do okay.
Mm. Now, granted, that is 100 points that isn't going to help the warlock any, but if you look at Junior with a jack for himself Machine, you're looking at 100 points, if not more.
Yeah, then again, Roar can't cast Arcane Shield.
Well, he can't cast Arcane Shield, but... The points are comparable.
Absolutely. I mean, and you're still getting a heavy relatively cheap.
Mm-hmm.
That stays around after it dies.
Yeah, for one turn.
Which isn't bad.
No.
And then you get to eat it, like Mike said.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, nom, nom.
That's a huge tree. You've almost got to get Mulg's weapon just to put him on the spit and rotate it.
Got to watch out for that trichinosis when you eat him, though.
Well, that's why you do that after the battle.
Bacon is like, you make meat better with more meat.
Mm-hmm.
When you wrap a filet mignon, you wrap it in bacon. There's a reason for that.
It's good stuff.
But there's no cows in War Machine, right? There's no way to get beefalo.
Beefalo.
Beefalo and bacon. We should have put beefalo on this list.
You know what? Maybe for the 1,000-point version. I will make sure to put beefalo and Horthal in there.
So we've got kind of stuff deployed. You have some options for flanking, or at least holding a flank.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your pigs up front.
Right.
Now, one of the complaints I hear about pigs, which I think is valid, especially the sharpshooters, is they don't have that great of a rat. Now, they do have CRA, but if you've got 10 pigs, you probably would like them to be able to hit 10 times.
True.
So that would be one of the reasons why they are a lesser used unit. So what would you have to overcome that?
Well, we've got the Fel Caller,
mm-hmm.
so he can make the unit at +2 to attack rolls, which will bring him up to just about average. Mm-hmm. They could also stand still. Mm-hmm. So now you're looking at an 8.
Well, they do have Bushwhack, though. You probably don't want them to stand still because Bushwhack is really big.
Well, unless you're facing a smaller than 10-man unit, or you can combine enough of them to take them out. I mean, if you can force the unit to either flee or you can just take them out, then you don't have to worry about moving afterwards.
That's true.
And it could be the case where you want them positioned on, say, her feet turn, where you want them to stand still to get the bonus and then accept a charge or an attack that next turn, but possibly stay alive due to her feet.
Mm-hmm.
So that might give you the chance to stay alive again while getting that bonus.
Yeah, you actually went to where the next question was, okay, well, something does get to engage them. They're pretty weak. How are you going to keep them alive? Well, you've got Kalandra. There's your answer.
Yeah,
you've got Kalandra.
And what about Kalandra is going to help them?
Well, the 3-up tough roll, I believe it is.
That's her feet, yep.
Mm-hmm. Cannot be knocked down and are destroyed, not destroyed on a 3-up.
That is a huge
good feat. Omens. That's a great feat name.
I mean, the not being knocked down is significant. It's huge. As well.
Yeah, that's what just puts it over the top.
Yep. So, in order to keep the pigs alive, should you get them into actual combat, first off, on her feat turn for when you pop good omens, you've got the 3-up tough roll where they cannot be knocked down. So that's going to help out. If
3-up tough roll.
3-up tough roll. Dumb. Great.
I mean, I've played against Irisk where his guys won't die on 4+.
Mm-hmm.
And also trolls with the krill warriors. But 3-up, that's just so stupid. I don't know what else to say about it.
It's great. I like it.
So you've got pigs that can't be knocked down.
You got pigs that can't be knocked down on a 3-up.
They'll survive 2 out of 3 attacks.
Right.
And on top of that, you're rolling you're basically getting screwed fronts on your attack die because you're dropping your highest attack die.
Right. And then to just add insult to injury, if you get the Swamp Gobbers close enough, now they can put the template out there. So anything in the template, you're -2 to hit them anyway.
Yep.
I think in most cases it'd be hard to get that up there, though, since the pigs are going to AD.
But unless they're doing a firing retreat where they shoot Bushwhack, Bushwhack. But if you're doing that, you're also not trying to throw your Claw down in front of Kalandra.
Right. Yep.
But, I mean, that on that feet turn with Star Crossed up, those 10 Bushwhackers are going to be a pain in the ass of a roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Burrowers will be the same.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they have the capability to pop up and
it would be
shoot
worth
something
it to pop
back
those guys up, affect them with the feet, and whenever they survive, just put them underground again. You might get 2 uses out of those guys in the whole game. That would be amazing.
Yeah. And I think the Fel Caller, I mean, can get the burrowers, or the burrowers or bushwhackers hitting.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, he can make people stand up before she pops her feet or on the turn so that they stand up and they're not going to get knocked back down.
Yeah. Right.
You know, he's And he's actually he's decent in melee if he needs to. I mean, you don't have a whole lot of melee punch other than the brigands.
Right. Now the brigands and the pig, that's
which
from Brian.
Yeah, the other, going to the other one, the brigands, they also have some weaknesses. You don't see these guys a lot. I think one of the biggest reasons because they're freaking expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they have two melee weapons and a ranged weapon. And the ranged weapon is only a POW 10. Yeah. The gun is, it's a range 10, POW 12. But the problem is their mats are 6 across the board, even leader. And their rat is 5-4. 5 for leader, 4 for the regular. And they don't have CRA. And that's the problem, is they need to hit stuff.
Yeah, and other than knocking down, there's nothing in this list that can really help them.
Right, because unfortunately the Fel Caller can't boost them.
Right. Right.
There's some slam opportunities, though.
There are some slam opportunities with your beast, and especially with the Impaler.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the best way to make him hit. But even if you can't get him to shoot, they are speed 5, so not as fast. I mean, they're as fast as normal trolls. But they have two melee attacks with a mat of 6. I mean, that's respectable, if not. I mean, it's not great. But you get two chances to hit someone on a mat 6. That's not too bad. Starcross does help them, though. The math behind dropping the lowest or dropping the highest die, most of the time, roughly moves the average roll by about 2.
I think it's a little less, but it's pretty close.
But it's not anything you can count on, but
right.
Roughly. So that makes them a virtual defense of 14, give or take. So it does actually make them a little bit more survivable. I mean, defense 14, that's an swordsman. How hard are those things to kill in melee if you're not buffed?
Mm.
Anything that's high enough defense that they're going to miss them reliably, mm-hmm. or they're going to have a problem hitting them. If they do manage to hit, even the low POW on their weapons is going to finish them off.
So, I mean, but they also have dug in. So even if you're not dealing with melee here and Starcraft can affect the enemy model, they're still going to be +4/+4 against your long gunner shot or whatever. So, so they're survivable in melee and ranged in this list.
Yeah. I mean, well, assuming your long gunner's in Kalandra's control radius.
No, if they're out of the control, Kalandra's control radius.
Oh, you're saying they'll still have something. Right.
Or,
sure,
or he'll combine both. If they happen to be in her control radius, even better.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. That would be disgusting. Yeah. They actually only have one melee weapon.
Oh, what's the other one?
I don't play these guys. The Shaman War Club. Shaman has it.
Oh, so on the page there are two melee weapons,
right,
but they're split between the two.
Sure. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Okay. I was thinking they had a bayonet on their gun, or they clubbed with it.
Why wouldn't you know that, Dave? Don't you use these guys all the time?
Well, another reason that models get underused is because they're minions and you have much better in-faction stuff.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about this before. It seems in Hordes the minions... or the factions tend to go ahead and take care of things that a mercenary and War Machine might take care of instead, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Typically, I think minions were designed better than mercenaries.
Mm-hmm.
They supplement, but they do not replace.
Right.
The exception being stuff like the Bog Trogs.
Sure. And Swamp Goblins.
But I think the great thing about that is it wasn't like Escalation. When Escalation came out and only Kador had the, what are they called? Kassites. They had the only thing that could come on from the side of the board.
Mm-hmm.
And in some scenarios, that was completely broken. Now, everyone has equal access to that very unique ability.
In Hordes.
In Hordes. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually, like I said, I like minions and hold better than mercs.
Mm-hmm.
Off topic. Anyway, so you've got your brigands who can actually stand up okay with Starcrossed up, but you still need something to punch through the lines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you need something that's going to do the majority of your damage. So where are you going to, how are you going to pull that off?
That's going to be Rorsch and Brine and the Blitzer. That's going to be the big 1-2.
Rorsch actually has rapid fire in his gun. If he hits with the first one, he gets a second attack. That's not bad. And the Blitzer, especially throwing stuff around.
Yep.
And getting 2 shots on average with a POW 13.
Yep.
Possibly range 16 with the Impaler's Animus.
Yep.
That's not bad.
All right, we kind of mentioned Kalandra's feat and Starcrossed as being very good, keep her stuff alive. You know, she does have the reliable knockdown of Misfortune.
Mm-hmm.
It's only POW 11, though, and it has to damage you to knock you down.
Right.
So that might be hard for her to hit with. But she has a couple other spells, and what I'm specifically looking at is, like, Befuddle, which, if you hit, you can move the target unit up 3 inches.
Now, you got it in front of you. Does that require a command check?
Not if you hit. Okay. If you hit with it, you immediately move the target model unit 3 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Then, if she upkeeps it, the affected model unit must make a command check, and if it fails, she can move them again.
Oh, so she gets one free, so to speak, movement out of the unit.
Right.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah, that's costs 3, and she's got bone grinders
mm-hmm.
in here to make the range on that 11, which isn't bad. The other one is precognitive awareness, and that's where if she gets missed by a magic arranged attack, she can then move. And she has a spell that she can put that on a unit. So in this list, what do you guys see as the uses of those?
Well, we were talking about the pigs earlier. You can go ahead and stand them still, and if they can absorb one attack, then they can just move back. But, I mean, the befuddle is just, it's beyond utilitarian. You can use it every turn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you're doing it just to deny a charge to the enemy or to turn their back to something, say, to give another plus two or whatever.
Yeah, that plus two to hit,
mm-hmm.
say, before your Pharaoh. I mean, something charges Pharaoh with Star crossed up. They kill a couple, probably not all of them. Your turn, you're going to have to try and do something to get one target out of melee so you can actually reliably hit them.
Right.
You know, maybe have something of yours kill one of your Pharaohs from behind.
Right.
Then you cast Starcross on them, and you cast Befuddle on the unit. They turn around, and now your Pharaoh are at 8.
Yep. And, I was going to say or rat, vegan, but they won't.
Or Rat at that point. 7.
Yeah.
I mean, they could get the pig, the hog wild. Wild prayer.
If they can't do it with one shot, they just shoot, walk up, and then take your
shoot,
melee
walk,
attack.
And take a melee attack. That spell is dumb, especially like, oh look, I moved my unit just into the control area to contest it in Steamroller 4.
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't.
And the thing is, even if your opponent is aware of what Befuddle can do and is aware that you can do that, that means they're just going to have to be that much more selective about what they send in, which by indirectly protects the things that you have on your front line.
Mm-hmm.
So the threat of Befuddle is just good.
Is it move 3 inches or move it up to their speed?
3 inches.
Okay.
So, you know, if they can just get into the area to contest it on normal movement, now they've got to run. Mm-hmm.
All you've got to do is move a base even partially out of the area as of Steamroller 4 to remove their status as controlling it.
Mm-hmm. But for the enemy to move it far enough in, if they're that close, that you wouldn't be able to move them out. They may not be able to walk in anymore. They may have to run just to get the extra distance, so you can't move them out at 3 inches.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is kind of the reason that she can actually work with these minions a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
is she virtually can give anybody a plus two to hit against a unit by turning them around, moving them around. And you can totally mess with your opponent's lines. You can make stuff extremely survivable. Her big – I'm going to call it a defensive buff spell. Even though that's not really what it does, but her big defensive buff is not faction only.
Right.
Right. Well, I mean, that's sort of the nature of debuffs in general. So, I mean, being able to give the back to something that needs to slam, for example.
Right.
And then negating the bonus or the penalty, it has so much use.
I think.
And I think whenever she comes out, people are just going to dig into her and they're going to find all sorts of crazy things to do with her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons. I mean, we also looked at, you know, we were thinking, like, what else would run pigs well? And it would kind of be funny, like, Mike, you mentioned throwing Bork in there because he's got his pig keg carrier,
mm-hmm.
and you know, slamming stuff and then getting in there with your actual Trollbloods. Stuff like Gristle, giving people plus two to hit and damage against the target unit.
Mm-hmm.
But Kalandra, I think, might be the best option at the moment just because of all the ways she can mess with their opponent's army.
Yep.
It's the closest thing that the trolls have to Denegra.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's for me, it's really her control area. The size of it that makes that so horrible.
Oh, yeah.
If she were only a 12, a 6 Fury, it wouldn't be nearly as bad. That extra 2 inches
mm-hmm.
just makes it that much worse.
And when the trolls get their version of the Squire, we're all screwed.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. And the fin blades will be cool, too.
Yeah. The fin blades, they're going to be nice. I hope they're plastics that are cheap for you guys because
I think
they would be great with her, especially.
Mm.
So that's the basic list. What do you think is going to try and get the kill off? Probably the beasts.
Hopefully the beasts will get the kill.
Kind of trying to attrition down your opponent's army to the point where your beasts can get to them.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. I would buy that. Especially if you can do something like slam or knock something down into the warlock.
Right.
And then either shoot them with the other stuff or use like the impaler and the blitzer.
Right. Or if I can get them far enough back and get them into a nice juicy spot, pop the burrowers up in the right spot.
Oh yeah,
and they can
sure.
get the kill with the boosted attack. And
I would probably be moving them upfield every turn.
Yeah.
I would probably, if you especially go first, advance deploy them front and center at their max uh-huh. and just start going up.
Just exactly.
Every turn. So what about playing against this? Its weakness. Its weakness is, for a troll army, it's frail.
Oh, for a troll army, it cannot screen itself because there's so many more small base models than you typically see.
So
that's going to hurt. I'm not trample proof anymore.
I think I count only 7 models that aren't small based.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to label this with the Legion player's perspective of the weakness is ranged attacks for two reasons. One is it's going to be harder to screen Kalandra. You're going to have to either use a Beast or the Felicaller. And if the Felicaller's back there doing that, either she's up with it buffing the pigs, or it's too far back to buff the pigs. And she needs to be up there to cast her offensive spells anyway.
Right.
So she is a fairly big target. And the other defense, or the other reason range works, is because you can range from outside of her control area and shoot into it.
Right.
And if you can do that, you can take stuff down.
You're going to have a fairly specialized something to be able to do that, because, I mean, not specialized.
Not if you're willing to hold the unit back.
Well, if you're willing to hold something back, just from the range, though, with most range weapons being a 10 or 12 on the range, and she's got a 14-inch control area.
That means there's only a 4-inch circle around her that's truly safe. That's why you're going to do it quick, though.
Right, but anything coming in to her, or the stuff right around her.
Absolutely.
You know, hand cannons aren't going to work. You're going to have to peg her with a mortar shot or a Redeemer rocket or something.
I was getting more at the army.
For the army itself.
Taking the army out with ranged attacks to try and make it so that you can swarm her.
Right. And I can see easily, especially against a ranged opponent, the feet getting popped first or second turn.
Oh, against a ranged army?
Against a ranged army, so that until I get to them to be able to make that Starcross go off or really effective against it, I'm going to need that 3-up, no knockdown.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, she's only speed 5. She's not going to outpace the, even if she charges every once in a while for distance, she's not necessarily going to outpace the Swamp Gobbers.
Right.
Which is cool, because they can go 6 a turn. They can keep her a little bit safe, which she needs.
Yes.
But I think that's the biggest weakness. Anything that can ignore defense.
Yeah.
Her, I mean, you don't have a Creel Stone here.
Right.
Because there wasn't really the points for it. And on top of that, there wasn't going to be much back with it.
Right. With the pig theme, it didn't really... Mm-hmm. I figured I'd go theme on this one over...
Right. And so your normal troll strength is not your strength here. And so the things that the trolls normally don't care about, they do care about very much.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to require a little bit of different thought for the troll player. You can't go into this expecting to play it's just like you play your brick.
Right.
AoEs are going to wreck your day. And the bounces and leaps that we talked about earlier, exact same thing.
Big problem I see with it is just damage output. Half the guns here are only about a pow 10 or so.
Mm-hmm.
You got like the Blitzer and the Impaler that can do a little more. But in general, if you have to take down a heavy target, if you can't slam it out of the way, then you might have a big problem on your hands.
Right.
Especially if it's on the wrong side of the board where Rorsch and Brian are not to help neutralize that.
I think the good thing is, though, he does have 4 miles that can slam, one from range.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I mean, because correct me if I'm wrong, even the Blitzer can slam and shoot.
Correct.
Sure.
Right. But she does have multiple options to slam and move models around, which is good. And I mean, as a Legion player myself, especially playing Epic Thagrass and a lot of Beasts lately, I would say on any given turn, roughly half my Beasts may be devoted to slamming things or throwing things.
Yes.
To try and position and get stuff out of place for me.
Mm-hmm. Or to throw white warjacks into water.
Yeah. Yes. There was just like swimming. Those big swords work as paddles.
Exactly.
And their top of their heads are like hole shaped, so they actually float.
He creates a great wake when you really get him going.
I thought you were
going
to say it's like a fin, like a shark fin, and you hear the Jaws theme as he walks through the water.
That too. Replace everything I said with that, because that's funnier. I think this army is going to have some problems against armies that can increase their chances to hit very well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your feet is still going to be good, but let's throw down Epic Thagrash, because it's pretty much your spells are canceling each other out.
Right.
So, you know, those are going to relatively counter each other. They're actually, what they're going to do is increase the middle of the bell curve for all attack rolls.
Yeah.
So you're actually going to enforce the average. More reliable on what you're going to do. But I've got stuff like Typhon.
Yeah.
And we learned this weekend how mean he can be. I think one game, not against you, but against Monkey, who had his Guardian, I charge up there, threw his Guardian. I took one breath weapon back into his choir and his vassal, took one directly to my side to take out both paladins of the wall. I had already killed Vilmon. And then I bought an attack on the Seneschal, who now got 2 life back, and threw it back again into some stuff to take its life back away. I died the next turn, but he just caused so much havoc.
Right.
And you don't have a whole lot between you and me.
No.
So, I mean, if I get in there and do something like, you know, start throwing Pharaoh or... throw in brine, I mean, then what's going to happen?
Swine flu. Because he flew. Get it? He's a swine. He's a pig.
I see what you did there.
We haven't had many swine flu jokes, folks. As a, maybe we should stop and do a little PSA.
Okay.
You know, if you go to the doctor,
yeah,
you might be confused by some of the terminology.
Okay.
It's colloquially known as swine flu, but you might also hear it termed as pork lung.
Okay.
Bacon fever. The curly tail sweats.
Wow.
Oinker's cough. Or sometimes hamfluenza. So just a little service to our listeners.
Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome.
We appreciate that.
Back to your regular scheduled whatever the hell this is.
So anyway, your defense is your defense.
Right.
Getting around that by knocking stuff down.
Or throwing it out of the way.
Or boosting your attack rolls is going to get around that.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of your stupid feet turn.
Yeah.
And I think that Epic Thagrash makes a very good match because I'm not doing it with units. I mean, Befuddle. I believe Befuddle is target model units, so you could at least get one guy.
Right, I believe so.
For so the other option for Legion is a lot of range attacks. Because do you really want to get Kalandra close enough to cast that spell when everything else can shoot her death?
Right.
Probably not. For the Protectorate, you're going to capitalize on your AoEs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also going to capitalize on the fact that you can make stuff untargetable by spells. Especially with, for example, Epic Severius, who, with his feet turn, can take over your stuff and mess with things. Or, I believe, make them run out of the way and that kind of stuff. But he can cast an upkeep spell on one unit to make it untargetable by spells. And then the Zealots can do it as well. So he could have two units moving upfield that he can't befuddle.
Right.
And because his anti-spell also increases defense, that's also two units that you're going to have problems hitting.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think as far as other factions? I've talked about mine a lot.
With Crix and even both Circle, there's a lot of stealth in those two factions.
Hold on a second. Purge.
What'd you say?
Purge.
Purge. Well, that's what I was getting at. In Mark 1, the Coven has occultation, which can be given to any unit, which I was thinking as Dave was, the Bile Thralls. Just slowly eke your way up the field until you're in range, and then you pop one to wipe out the pigs or whatever. This is assuming you didn't time your feet right to screw me. And even on your off-feet turn, as we know, Tuff just throws a big monkey wrench into everything.
Right.
But
what's the defense on a Bile?
It's 11 in Mark 1. They're actually not hard to hit at all.
So, I'm just thinking that on a decent round, I think the pigs could wipe them out. Even with stealth, if they're willing to advance and shoot, he might be able to get them before they get to him.
That's stay 5 inches away, though. I mean, and their speed's only, they're 6 speed. So if I can, and the purge range is 11 to begin with.
Right.
So depending on how the models are organized on the table.
What's their speed?
5.
Oh, they're only 6. Oh, yeah, they should be 6, yeah.
Yeah, the Bushwhackers are 6, the Burrowers are 5.
Yeah.
That'd be a game of ranges.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. And that's nothing new because we've seen it all the time with Zealots and Biles and stuff.
Right.
If you happen to have, say, Denegar on the field, Death Rage is going to suddenly tip that in Crix's favor.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have her, then, swarming with numbers. If you happen to have a couple of units of Bile Thralls, even if they're just min units.
Well, even just placing the Biles right if you've only got the one unit. I mean, it's never really been, oh, crap, I got 10 purges to take care of this turn. It's always an 8 or 9 man delivery system for that last for one or two that screw up the entire side.
Yeah. So purging is, it's always a good way to take out little low armor troops like that. Tough, of course, hurts that some. Arc nodes, not caring about Starcrossed, walking in there and then spelling from a distance. I was going to say knocking down with a couple spells, but that's really not going to do a whole lot versus this, especially when you need the fellow caller can just stand you up or the feet. Makes them unknockdownable to begin with. But stealth in general, whether it's an innate ability of the model or given, in Mark II, for example, multiple warcasters have occultation, which makes it even worse. Of course, we don't know how this is going to change in Mark II, this troll list, but in general, stealth is even more prevalent with Crix in Mark II. Circle, Epikaya can give herself and all her beasts stealth. Druids can throw up clouds to make hitting even harder. Some models just innately have stealth, like Lord of the Feast, for example. So there's plenty of opportunity to deny you your ranged attacks, which obviously are is rife in the list.
See, I think the Bile Thralls would actually end up having the advantage in that fight because, okay, on my feet turn, you get enough in there, you purge on everybody. Even if they take the damage and die right then, and they make their tough rolls, they're still standing. But before I get my next activation, they're still corroded.
Right.
So I've not only got to make the 3 up, I've then got to make a 5-6.
Yeah.
So there's two chances for that to go wrong, and the second one's not nearly as good as the first.
And on the turn I purge, that means I'm not running, which means if I have any other bowels other than the one that's going to purge, if I don't want to purge with them, I can go in and spray.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably miss, but there are 13, so I need a 9 to hit. I might hit one or two,
right,
which is that extra one or two.
You need 11 if they've got star-crossed up.
That's true. It's very true.
Well, virtually.
But again, this is depending on where Kalandra is.
This is true.
You know, obviously, like you were saying, you're probably going to play her farther up, which is going to neutralize most of my attack rolls. But Purge auto hits, so
yep.
I don't really care about it. Arcanoid spelling from distance, even like Kruger throwing lightning from 13
sure.
inches away, or any 13 inch away thing, is going to...
The boulder...
Earth spikes.
Earth spike spam, too.
Howling pit with Cro-Mac, even sure. if you really want to go that way. There's plenty of ways to get through Starcross. I think Starcross is mostly
anti-melee.
Devouring, too, yeah. sure. And that's such a big AoE, I probably don't even care about the Starcrossed at that point. I probably want it to drift in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, your attack roll is so high anyway, if everybody's contributing.
Sorry, it's a 16, or yes, it's a 16. Or I'm sorry, it's a 13. 14 with the Overseer. So it is relatively high to begin with. Yeah, I think with the amount of shooting here, it's just way too easy for, say, Crixen Circle in particular to get around it. Now, if it was a melee versus melee, let's say I took Gore Shade with a bunch of Banes or something, you might have a good time against that, actually. Shooting from a distance, you'll need 7s to damage, but you're probably hit. And then, assuming you can do it before I get up to you and Shadow Shift in your ranks, you might have a good time with that as well. Heavy Jacks, though, even Crix Heavy Jacks with low armors they have, it's going to be difficult to take them out, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the one, the weakness is getting to the armor.
Yeah.
I think Kadar, for example, and to some extent, even a lot of the Scorn stuff,
mm-hmm.
with the higher armor is going to be harder to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And the Scorn stuff that wants you to kill it.
Right.
To get mightier, basically.
Right, right.
I mean, they engage you with stuff like Praetorians or whatnot. They might eventually die to your pigs and your pharaoh, but that means your Cecil Guardian's going to be fully charged.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're rolling two dice and dropping, or three dice and dropping the highest, if your defense is minus 4 because you've been blinded.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. But Kador has a lot of ways to hit really well, especially if they freeze you, but
yeah.
that's a non-issue. They have some decent mats. I think the Doom Reavers would have a decent chance with stuff like Pig Bushwhackers or Burrowers.
Yeah, even if the troll player knew they weren't going first and pulled back a little with the AD, rushing those Doom Reavers forward, turn one, scaring everything away.
Mm-hmm. Especially in Mark II, I talked about this last week, how you have to make terror checks every turn.
Right, right.
That's going to be awful.
Mm-hmm.
And Kador's got the AoEs. I think Kador is this list's worst nightmare.
Absolutely, I agree. High armor, lots of AoEs.
Yeah.
So
lots of single shot.
Yeah.
Things that don't care about whatever armor happens to be in the list.
Right.
Or let's talk about Signar for a second. Smoke clouds.
Yeah.
You know, then what are you going to do?
I think this list really excels more with scenarios than
I
just
think
straight
so.
Up kill.
I think if it's especially a mosh pit, mm-hmm. I think that the four areas will be harder to do because you might have to spread out a little bit.
Right.
Right.
But yeah, I think that taking and holding a point with this could be fun and just hilarious. I can't dislodge these fucking pigs,
exactly.
You know. But I think it's definitely a fun list that obviously has good and bad matchups.
Right.
But I think it could be fun to play. I think Kalandra's going to make it's like Thagrosh can make a lot of stuff fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, like I play Thagrosh with a rake sometimes, and it's the same case here of you're playing models which you might not normally play, but because you can make them work
mm-hmm.
better. I mean, yeah, sure, you can make champions just that much hardier. And yes, you can make Fin Blades horrid on your feet with Starcrossed, but why not do it with pigs? It's fun.
That's right.
Do you think she was made in part to help boost up these lesser used models?
I don't think so, because she can boost up the other ones as well just as much.
True.
I think that she definitely made them more playable, though.
Should wait till the Pig Warlock comes out.
That's right.
You mean Rorsch?
No, PYG.
No, yeah, PYG.
We have to specify which pig we're talking.
Sorry. The non-Pharaoh pig.
Do you think it will have wings?
If it did, it would be a swine flu. That flu.
Laura's watching Good Eats the other day, and they were talking about shoe fly pie.
Shoe fly pie?
Yeah.
How do you do that? What's that?
It's a molasses-based pie. It's the Dutch created.
Okay.
The Pennsylvania Dutch.
Wouldn't that draw the flies?
That's the point. You can't keep the flies away.
Oh,
that's why
I see.
It's named.
I see.
And this it's kind of like the pig flu pie.
Pig flu pie.
Pig flu pie.
Swine flu pie.
Well, sure, swine flu pie.
It's like a pie full of swine flu.
Yeah.
Ask your doctor.
Cialis can help for you.
Blue Star ointment. Jock itch, psoriasis, ringworm. Ask your doctor. Ask for it by name.
Gold Bond medicated powder.
Head on.
Apply directly for it.
I hate that curve. I think that's the point, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have any closing thoughts on the army?
No. She's stacked. Calandra, she's boom.
Badow.
Badow, badonkadonk.
Okay, so I guess that does it for our list.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is actually 2 weeks in a row we've done more of a fun list.
Yeah, we've been doing theme lists a lot. I mean, by accident, we did the Ashland one, sort of. And
I could unpig and recompetify this list real
quick. That's okay. That's okay. Competify.
Competify. Recompetify.
Recompetify.
After unpigging.
Competification.
Competification.
Pigification.
Depigification. Both PY and PI.
In the next couple of weeks, we'll probably, we'll have to get back to something a little bit more hardcore, shall we say?
Possibly.
A little more serious.
A little more. Well, this is serious. War Machine is serious business.
Pigs is serious business.
Pigs is serious business. Bacon is serious business.
Bacon is serious business.
I'm going to go get some bacon. I'll see you guys later.
See you guys.
See you later.
Bye.
To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2009 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided courtesy of Joshua Salter.